Okay, so we're holding in a case like this. There's a money changer who's received money, a large substantial money from Reuven, to transferring it from Chutz Oretz, getting the best rates with the money changer, so he gave it over to the money changer, and he's in the process of buying an apartment, so it's a substantial amount of money. Unfortunately, the money changer, that stage when he receives the money, he is in not good financial straits, and rumors go out that he's about to fall, and Reuven doesn't want to take this lying down. He's given over lots of money, what we call a loan. He's given a loan of money to the money changer, thinking he's going to get the money back, more to the buy apartments. He hears the money changer going down, so he decides to limit or recover his losses. What does he do? He investigates where the money changer lives, and he steals his car.
Takes his car.
As a sort of a backup for his loan. As he's driving the car away, he goes into a petrol station. What's it called in America?
Gas station.
And he goes in to pay for the gas, and while inside, the car blows up. What happens is that the money changer had also fallen in dire straits in respect to borrowing money from the mafia, and he wasn't paying back the mafia either. So they had their ways and means to deal with people who don't pay them back. And that was, they planted a bomb on the money changer's car, and the car now no longer exists. Now in Basin. By the way, a famous case, 14, 16 years ago, I can't exactly remember the date. And the shaila's like this. Reuven gave over to the money changer 80,000 shekels. The car's worth 120,000 shekels. So Reuven's saying, hey, you owe me, I gave you 18,000, you didn't give me back 18,000, I took a car, useless car, blew up. You still owe me 18,000, Mr. Money Changer. Money Changer saying back, hey, I owed you 18,000, you took 120,000, you never gave it back, so therefore you, Reuven, owe me 40,000. That's the shiny. So the question we discussed, and we came to a conclusion last week, is he a ganav by taking that car? Or is he just taking it as a pashkin, as a guarantor for his loan which he gave to the money changer? If it's a guarantor for the loan, then the relationship he has to that guarantee, the car he's getting as a mashkin, is that he's a shomasoko when it's in his rishus, trying to cover up his loan, he's in relationship. It's not his car, it's the money changer's car. He's a shomasoko on the car. Now it gets blown up, which is an onus. Shomasoka is Chayberson? Is he Chayberson? No. So therefore, Reuven says, I took your car, I was a Shomasoka on it, yes, but it was an onus, it got blown up, so I'm not responsible, you still owe me 80,000 shekels. Money changer says, you're not a Shomasoka, you're a Ganef. A Ganef is Chayberson? Yes. So if you're Chayberson, so even though it blew up, you never gave it back, so therefore you took under 20, you never gave it back, you still owe me 40. So was he, the discussion last week, was he a ganav for his Chayberson by taking that car, or was he called a mashkin, and therefore he's owed Shemizok, his brother's owned, and therefore does he owe 40,000, or does money change owes 80? That's 21. So we came to the conclusion, as we look at Mara Mokum number 1, the Rambam. The Rabbam in Hilchos Kezei Levayitah Perikim Halakot Tezayin says like this: Hachotziv Mashkin Miyad Alovish Lovishus Beistin. Somebody snatches a mashkin from the borrower. He lent money and he snatches a mashkin without the permission of Beistin. How is there Gazlan? He's considered a Gazlan. Abishur Chayno, even though he owes you money, he's still called a Gazlan. And we explained last week, if you snatch something as a security for your loan without permission of Basin, before you've established in Basin that you're owed the money, then you're called a Gazan. If you snatch after you've already established the owed money in Basin, then you're not called a Gazan. it's also, but it's not called a gazer. But here, this case, he's took the car before he's proven and based and that the money changer owes him money. If you take a security without yet proven and based that you owed money, then your relationship to what the security you took is not a mashkin, you're gunner, a gunner's chayv and oatsin, so any nachonami, the money changer owes you 80,000, but now you owe him up to 20,000 because you took, you stole a car, he never returns it, a chayv oatsin, and therefore you owe him 120, he owes you 80, therefore 40,000. That's how we concluded last week.
Does the Rambam only say this by Mashko? In other words, let's say he walked into his house and took out 80,000 shekel in cash. Would he still be a gazer?
That'd be different. No, he wouldn't necessarily be a gazer. Maybe not be. He'd still be Chayav Bonson if anything happens. That's it. That's the end of his debt.
No, that's his money.
Yeah, his money. Okay. Now. Shaila is the Pesach Halacha Kenet. At this stage you're halting, he stole the car, Chayav Bonson blew up, can't return it, so you owe the money changer 40,000. Okay. Is that Kenet? Or is there another factor we have to discuss over here to see whether in fact he owes the money changer money? What other factor can we discuss about?
Totally unrelated factor that might come into play here. Had he not stolen the car, the car could have easily blown up with the money changer in it. So he was really matzel the life of the money changer, and you're allowed to be matzel his life with his money. So maybe that's what he was doing inadvertently.
No? It's the fact that the car was a manitavra tava.
Ah, okay.
It was already a broken.
So the discussion was, the whole claim of the money changer was, you stole 120,000 shekel car. He never gave it back, so you owe me 120. Now, the question, is it true? Did he steal 120,000 shekel car? Was it worth 120,000 shekel car?
Yeah, people would have paid 120,000 shekel for it.
With a bomb or not?
They didn't know there was a bomb.
But what's the halacha of an item which is worth on the market 120,000, but it's destined to be worth nothing in a few hours' time? What has it lost its value already now in its destined state?
Its present value is almost zero.
What do you mean, destined?
Its market value is almost zero.
It's destined to be zero because it's destined to blow up. Now, if it blows up car,
but you
can't
don't know
really
that
do much.
I mean, if I have a stock,
you don't know. So, but what's the intrinsic
cost? I have a stock that's $100,000 now. Tomorrow
it's worth $100,000 now.
No, tomorrow it's worth it. It's worth letting people pay for it. That's
the question. Something which no one, people don't realize, but now we know the facts. Something you stole, which you at the time was stealing, you didn't realize, but you steal something which you thought was 120,000, but was really destined to be zero. Has it already now, looking back, not worth 120?
I mean, let's say I steal somebody's stock certificate that today the stock is through the roof, and tomorrow they go bankrupt. You don't know the future.
Tomorrow, this is already.
No, it's not only tomorrow. It's going to blow up.
No, it's blown up now.
It's not blown up now.
The bomb was already planted.
We don't know that.
Your lack of knowledge.
The bomb was planted.
The management knew the company was going bankrupt today. They probably knew
last
year.
The bomb was planted. The bomb was planted.
Yes, the bomb was planted.
Before he stole, it was inevitable that it was.
So
let's go
blow
back
up
to the stock certificate. The company knows their company is tanking a year in advance.
The ship that came into port, they didn't know about, didn't have information about the ship that came in. It's a Gemara about that.
Okay, we'll discuss it. Okay. So that's the shayla that we're going to start with tonight. What's the halakha status of an item which on the market without any knowledge is worth 120, but destined already now to be worth. What's the value now? Okay. So to this, there's an interesting tshuva from Binyan Shlomo. A very interesting tshuva from Binyan
Shlomo.
Binyan Shlomo was one of the Gedolei Poskim just before the war in Europe. Yeah. Okay. So what's his shiloh over there? He was in Russia. Shaila is like this. He was asked to shaila. In Russia, you're not allowed to sell liquor. Like in America, at the time of the
prohibition.
in the time of the 1920s, they weren't allowed to sell any liquor. So in Russia, they weren't allowed to sell liquor. It was illegal. And if you've been found to sell it, you end up in prison with huge fines. So of course, when it's illegal to do, if you do it, there's obviously an opportunity to make a lot of money. Yes? The black market is obviously very lucrative. So a Jew had a good idea, I'll sell a hardware store there, and I'll also sell on the side without the authorities knowing liquor. Yeah? I'll spread the word amongst my friend the Jews. So, and everybody knew that his shop, if you want to get liquor, even though it was illegal, the place to get the liquor, even though it was legal, just go to his hardware store and ask for the special brands. And you'll get your special brands. So people used to go into the hardware store and get the liquor. So one day, Reuven walked into the hardware store. He knew this is the place for the liquor. And he asked for the best brands. And he walked to the back of the store, and he was given a drink, and they started schmoozing. The owner of the store was starting schmoozing with Reuven in Russia, drinking liquor illegally at this place. What happened?
This is in Tsarist Russia or Communist Russia?
This was probably in Tsarist Russia, I would say. Yeah. So now, what happened? They were drinking, and they started talking politics, and they got into a big argument. Two Jews drinking, talking politics, big arguments, yes? And Reuven got so angry, he smashed the whole barrel of liquor. A fortune. Yes, that was...
Reuven's the owner of the store?
No, Reuven was the customer who was asking for the illegal liquor, which he was supplying, and they had an argument, and Reuven got so angry, and he smashed the whole barrel. The liquor's all finished, ruined. Now, about half an hour later, in walks the authorities, inspection. And they start inspecting. We've heard rumors that you're selling liquor in this place. And they go around searching the whole place. They can't find anything. Now in Basin. In front of the Binyan Shloma. What's the sign of Basin in front of the Binyan Shloma? The sign is like this. The owner of the store in Russia, Tsarist Russia, says like this. I had a very expensive barrel of liquor, which is illegal to have, yes, but I'm making sure it's very expensive because it's black market. And comes along Reuven, has a drink, and gets in the fight and smashes it. He owes me for that barrel of liquor. He owes me a fortune of money. What does Reuven Tainer back? Reuven Tainer says, what are you talking about? I owe you money? If I wouldn't have drunk it, what would happen to that barrel? The inspectors came in half an hour later. What would have been the result? They would have found the barrel. They would. You would end up in prison, and you would have a huge fine greater than the value of the whole barrel. So why are you claiming damages for me? That barrel was already over to be taken away. They would confiscate the barrel. They would give you a huge fine, and you end up in prison. So what did I damage? I damaged a barrel of wine and liquor which has no value. So that's the question that's been asked in the Binyan Shloma. Suddenly, when you damage at the time of your damage, it was worth something. But its omens is destined to be worthless in a few minutes' time. Does that mean that at the time you damage it was already worthless, you don't owe money or not? And therefore we can relate it back to our case of where he stole the money changer's car because he owed him 80,000 shekels he wasn't paying, and he took it to the petrol station, he went in to fill the petrol, went in to pay, and as he went in to pay, the whole car blew up because the mafia put a bomb there. So therefore he tithes, hey, Rachel, I'm a gunner for the gunner's chayv. I stole 120,000 shekel car, and you owe me 80, I stole 120, therefore you're saying I owe you 40. You know what? It wasn't worth 120, because I already had a bomb in it, and therefore at the time that I stole it, it was destined to be worthless. And therefore, similar to our shayla of the Vinishim, at the time that I broke this barrel of liquor, even though it looked like it was worth money, it was destined to be worthless. So therefore, how can you say I would damage something of monetary value? That's the shayla of the Rabin and Shoma, which is relevant to our case, which took place a few years ago. So it says the Rabin and Shoma, let's look at the Gemara Baba Kama, that you died on the... Number two. The Omer Rabba. Rabba says, Zarek Kli Meroshaga. Somebody goes up and takes your china, Wedgwood's china, base bits of china, and he throws it off the roof. It's now flying through the air, destined to smash and be worked. A bar acha, as it's flying through the air, comes along somebody else, Vishavra Bamakul. He takes a stick as it's flying through the air and smashes it. Who's chayv? The one who threw it or the one who smashed it? Says the Gemara, the one who smashed it with the stick is Potter. Why? Why is he Potter? It was Wedgwood. It wasn't broken yet. It was not broken yet. It's flying through the air. It's destined to be broken. It wasn't broken yet. It's good Wedgwood china. Why? Because Domenei Modna Tavira Tova. Because at the time you broke it, it's considered you broke already a broken kli. It's not broken, but something we see is destined to be broken, is already called broken. So therefore you didn't damage anything. It looks not broken, but looks are deceiving. Because even though it looks not broken, it's destined to be broken, it's already broken. So says the Binyan Shlema, this seems to be a source to what we're discussing. When he smashed the barrel, even though it looks like a barrel of liquor which is worth a fortune of money, but it's destined to be worthless. And therefore, it's like him breaking it in mid-air, and therefore, it looks like I broke something of money, it's not, because you broke something, a mona, to be a tov, you already broke a broken kli. So therefore, based on this Gemara, we have room to release Reuven for smashing that barrel of liquor. Therefore, you want to raise that a case, you can say, you think I stole 120,000 shekel car from you, Mr. Money Changer? He already had a bomb on it. It wasn't worth 120,000. It was worth nothing. So therefore, even though I stole this Lechaim Otsen, Lechaim and Otsen on something which is worth nothing. So therefore, I don't owe you anything, and you still owe me the 80,000 shekels which I gave to you, and you never paid me back. And that's the claim and the suggestion over here that we've got proof on the bar. Have we got a proof on the Gemara to our case?
No. The first case.
Which is the first case? The barrel case or the
barrel? Sure, not the barrel. It's over here. Nothing else has to happen with the break. The barrel case, the authorities have to come in still to lose the money. The barrel has a silver.
Okay. So Yumi wants to say. Yumi wants to say the barrel is not the same, because here it's automatic. It's going to off the Wedgwood in the air. It's going to break. Nothing needs to be done. It's already on its way to be broken. With the barrel, we need people to walk in and inspect, who says that's the same level. But with the bomb, you want to say, oh, that is a good riot. That's a good riot. The bomb is already like in the air, flying on its way to be broken. It's a time bomb.
So the bomb might be like this case.
Okay. Anyone else has got any other?
I agree with Yirmi about that one factor, but there's another factor. Here, we know what's going to happen if nobody does anything. By the case of the car, we don't know anything because we didn't even know there's a bomb there. until it blows up.
Why does it matter we know? And who says we know?
Because if you say you don't have to know, you can undo every single transaction. Because I didn't know the price is going to go down. I didn't know the price is going to go up. And now we see it there.
No, because then we can say like Yemi.
What?
That prices going up and down is not necessarily happening now. Even when it does happen, it happens 5 days later.
Nothing has to be done, though.
It does.
Nothing has to be
done. Some certain events have to happen.
No, no,
certain situations.
Also, the guy's
speaking to
the guy stole.
But he took in possession a car which was worth zero. Because it already was broken more than severe. So
you didn't know that?
Doesn't matter where he was. He thought he was taking 120. But we know that it was worth zero. Why? Because something that's destined to be broken automatically without anything getting in the way is already broken. A kinyan you can make on, yeah, you made a kinyan on a car which is worth, you made a kinyan on a car which is worth how much?
Zero.
No, zero.
Why?
Because we're saying from this Gemara, an item which is destined automatically to destruct is worth zero. So you may think it's 120, but in serious, in reality, it's already zero. So you stole a car of zero.
There's a difference between the car and the plates and the wedge plates. The wedge plates, you can't do anything on them. They're on the wedge of brakes. You can't suddenly do anything in between. But this guy did get use out of the car. He's driving somewhere. There was a time period when it was okay.
Okay, I like that.
If it's in the article itself, or it's coming to the article. There's another Gemara about an arrow being shot.
Oh, very good, very good. Okay, all say good. Let us explain this with a Tosus. Tosus over there, which the Shach actually fastens halacha and Shimpei Bob like this Tosus, sit on the top. First, it says like this. Near. Maramokum number 3. Nira, the imzorik eben ochets alaki. If you're shooting an arrow in the direction of the Wedgwood china, not flying through the ware, it's on the table, the Wedgwood china is on the table, and you're shooting an arrow in the direction of the Wedgwood china. Imagine that can of 7-Up is the Wedgwood china. I'm shooting this arrow in that direction of it. And before the arrow reaches the Wedgwood 7-Up clear over there, somebody else came with a stick and smashed it. Says Tosus, Shita Tachayev. Shita, the one who smashed it, not the one who shot the arrow. Shita, in the case, that case, the one who smashed it is Chayev. Not like the Gemara said. There's a difference from the throwing the Wedgwood off and then you smashing it in midair, where you're potter, or where somebody's throwing a bow and arrow and you go and smash it before the bow and arrow comes, where you are Chayev. Lo shakan mona tevir tova. In such a case, it's not shaykh that you broke a broken kli, says Tosus. V'sob shuta lachalik ben zorek evan the zorek kli atzma. Is a very small dikas. Shaykh to say there's a difference between throwing the Wedgwood off and then somebody breaking it, or shooting a bow and arrow at the Wedgwood and then somebody breaking it. That second case, the one who actually breaks it is chayav. Tosus doesn't actually explain what the svara is. And he says it's a svara pshuta to machalik. Can you explain to me what that svara pshuta machalik is?
One's within the article. The article itself is falling, and therefore it's considered to be broken versus something which is just in danger for an external thing to be.
Paul saying, Achilik, what's Paul saying?
Not broken.
Vessi, do you know what he's saying? And Vessi, do you agree with us? I go to repeat what Shmuel said so everyone can hear. Shmuel says there's a difference. The difference is when you throw the Wedgwood off, you're doing something to the Kli itself, intrinsically to the Kli. Therefore, somehow, that's reason that means it's already lost its value, so if somebody else breaks it, he's off the hook. Masha, again, when you're shooting a bow and arrow at the Kli, you haven't done anything to the Kli itself at this moment in time. and therefore somebody breaks it before the arrow gets there, then he's considered as he broke the clean, he's chayt. That's what Shmuel is saying. He sees a chilek, and now he's saying that's his Shmuel B'Shukah. Now, does you agree with it? And if you do agree, can you explain why should that make a difference in the halacha? Okay, I can hear. Actually, in Metzius, there is a difference, like you spoke it out. One is you're throwing off the clean, and one is you're not throwing off the clean, you're shooting at the clean. And then somebody breaks it. Okay. But why should that make a difference to the monads of the Torah? Why should it make a difference to the shot? If they take the simple shot, it's destined to be broken, destined to be broken, it's worthless. What's the difference? If you're throwing the clean or shooting at the clean, it's already destined.
No, one is broken already. You just don't notice it. One is not broken. You can move the clean, the arrow can miss. Something that's on its way to the ground, it's going to break.
Oh,
it's a badois. It's a trick.
Well, and the arrow's not badois. I'm a very good shot, and it's definitely at the badois.
I can move the clean.
Okay, if we take that definition, okay, so then four, I would like you to ask that answer, therefore. You answer this, yeah? So what do you relate in our case? When you plant a bomb underneath that car, under which case is it, according to how you're defining now? Is it like the case of somebody shooting a bow and arrow at the kli, and then you break it before the bow and arrow gets it, and therefore the second guy is chayev? Or is it like the case of you ready for throw off the wedge with China, and therefore suddenly comes along and breaks and he's not doing anything? Oh, according to the chilek of Shmuel, and everyone seems to say, yes, I now understand it, what exactly category does the car bomb fit into?
The bomb could not go off. It's possible the bomb won't go off.
Possibility is not as... Is your logic because of possibility? It's not possibility. And the bomb is going to blow it, and also the arrow is going to... If this is to do with possibility, even the arrow is definitely going to break it. Why is the arrow different? I could catch the clay, like Matthew's saying. If you say, I can't catch the key, I'll say, well, you can't move the plate either, because you won't get there in time. Yeah? So, if you understand Shmuel's chilek, then what's the case of the car?
The car is like the arrow. It's not yet in the presence of being broken. It's got an arrow going towards it.
The forces are still external to the car. I wouldn't say
it doesn't matter whether the person breaking the clean knows there's an arrow going towards it or not.
No, it doesn't matter whether he knows. Correct.
It doesn't matter if he knows there's a bomb there either.
Correct. But is it by planting the bomb, is that like throwing the car off the cliff?
Because the car can be used and the thing you threw can't be used.
Ah, so you're saying a different chilek. You're not saying Shmuel's chilek. You're not saying Shmuel's chilek. You're saying, Eric's saying a different chilek, not Shmuel's chilek. If you go with, I want to speak out your chilek soon. If you go with Shmuel's chilek, one is that you're involved, you're not touching the clay at this moment, you're not involved in the clay, you're shooting something at the clay, therefore you haven't done anything to the clay yet, you can't say you've changed the clay yet, then somebody else breaks it, therefore he's responsible before the thing. Okay, but if you're throwing the clay off, then you've already done something to the clay, and therefore anyone else gets in is called second, you already called the first guy who's creating problems to the clay. If that's Shmuel's clay, then when relating to the bomb underneath the car, can you say the mafia have done nothing to the car yet by just planting the bomb? Or they've actually
set it in motion.
Actually started the process of the bomb being self-destructed, in that sense. If you take Shmuel's shot, it's very... Here's like, that it's like the case of actually throwing the clay off, it's not that you're disconnected from the item, you're actually involved in the item itself, destructing by placing a bomb underneath. That should be if you hold the Shmuel stick. But the Shat the Achronim says not like Shmuel. The Shat the Achronim says like Eric. What did Eric say? Why does Tosus say that if you throw the Wedgwood off, it's now worthless? But if you're shooting an arrow at the Wedgwood, it's not. What's the reasoning? Say like this. Very interesting. Shots. Very logical. When I throw the kli off, it's now flying through the air. Have I taken away control of that item away from the owner?
Well, he could go out and pass it if he wants to.
Yes, you've taken control away from the use of that item. So therefore your action has already affected that item of his by taking away his control.
Why can't he go out and catch it?
He can recover it, but it's now less of control. At this moment in time, it's not under his control. Since it's not under his control, it's considered he's already broken it. Masha and Cain, when you're throwing a bone arrow at the kli, in respect to the kli, the owner hasn't changed. He has the same relationship to that kli on the table, the Wedgwood on the table, the seven up Wedgwood on the table, before you threw the arrow, after you threw the arrow, as it's flying away, hasn't changed anything in his relationship and control over that seven up. Only at the second of impact will he now suddenly lose his control over it. So until the impact takes place, nothing has happened to the 7-up in the owner's relationship to that 7-up. Went with China over there. So therefore, somebody else comes and breaks it before it actually gets broken by the arrow. That means we say, who's the one who actually, and the miser took the control away and took away his ownership and made it useless? Mitzias, it was the second guy. Because the first guy had done nothing to the item until the impact.
Taking away his ownership is not Hezek, that's Gezek.
No, but it's an action, a vice of Hezek, which already has effect. You have the first effect.
Why does the fact that it affects his control make a difference in the
Because we're talking about, at this stage, the value. Yes? If you've done an item, or done an action, which takes away his control, which will eventually make it useless, and it's already considered that action has had already landed and has its already a result already now, and it's called already a useless item. Masha and Cain, when you throw the barrow, you haven't had any relationship to the item, you haven't changed anything to it, you can't say you've actually changed anything in it to say that it's worthless yet at this moment in time. And therefore, somebody else comes in, he's the one who's making it worthless, and therefore that's why Tosa says, the guy who breaks it before the arrow reaches there, he's the one who actually took the value of down and made it.
Before that clay hits the ground, it's not worthless.
But it's, no, that's something that's omet, we're now adapting, something that's going to be worthless, already worthless, but only when you've actually done something to that item. You've already changed it a bit. You've already took away a bit of its control. You've done an action which eventually will lead to worthlessness at that stage when it's going to land on the floor. But it's already had the effect now of being now it's no longer under its control. So therefore, you've already defined what you've done as made it worthless.
But in both cases...
So therefore we're concluding.
So,
there's no yisod. There's no such thing as something that's going to be worthless is worthless. There's no such thing. What we're saying is, who broke it? That's the question. Who broke it? Not, is it? At the moment, it's definitely worth money. Until it's broken, it's worth money. But who broke it? That's the Shiloh of the Gemara. And therefore, that's how Tosis is adding. Tosis is saying, when you throw it off, you're all considered the one who broke it, because your action has already had some effect on it, which will eventually lead to a broken effect. And therefore, you're the one who's considered as broken, it's already, somebody else doesn't add anything. Actually, again, when you're shooting an arrow at the Wedgwood, you haven't done anything to it yet. So therefore, you can't say as you have damaged that item at this moment. If so,
who says this?
We're going to see soon. Okay. So therefore, if that's Peshat, that you have to take away with your actions, you consider the first guy to be considered as a mazik, and the second guy as doing nothing, it has to be the first guy has actually changed something of the relationship between the owner hat and his item. Then, if you look at the car, when they planted the bomb underneath the car of the money changer, did they, at that stage, take away any type of use of the owner had in that car?
No. Actually, it was being used.
Yeah, it wasn't. Taking it didn't affect the relationship that your item, your action of being a bomb threat didn't affect the relationship of the money changer with his car. So therefore, it wasn't considered as you damaged the car at that stage. Therefore, when Reuven came along and stole the car, he stole a car which was worth 120,000 already at that stage, and therefore he's tied for 120,000. And therefore, the Binyan Shlomo.
Unless he knew there was a bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it ends up with the Kizush. It ends up with 40,000. Therefore, the Binyan Shlomo, Paskin, in his case, that the guy who calls Reuven, grab your saw. He also says your saw. But of course, Reuven, who smashed the barrel before the inspectors came, at that stage, under the barrel, was worth money, and you smashed it, so therefore, you're glad to pay. He should have been his friend.
Can't these people sue for services rendered, though?
So now,
they saved life, saved his
life. Let us move on to our third case tonight. Also, Meister Shoyo Kaka.
Isn't it the case that I brought where the value of something is different because there was a case where somebody, they sold their items for food thinking because it was a rav, it was really food that was in the port already. I didn't know the reality.
Yeah, that's,
is
we
beyond.
Spoke about that. That's the Imre. That's so therefore, the a tshuva from the Imre Moshe. It's not a. That's
part,
a tshuva from an Imre Moshe, and it's not from any Gemara. It's a tshuva from Imre Moshe. We already spoke about that. That's where you spoke in respect to making mistakes. That's just not the value of the item. Your mistake, Onar, we spoke about it in the halachas of Onar at the time.
Onar, like Onar means the value was different than you thought it was.
Yeah,
because
the
person paid $1,000.
Because it was on the market already, because on the market you couldn't sell it, just you
I
didn't realize.
The car.
No, at this stage, this car was worth up to 20,000 until it's blown up. Your case, it was, Matthias, according to knowledge, it was already worthless. Different
knowledge.
Yeah.
If you knew about the bomb was there, but it doesn't mean it's
the car's still very good. It works very well. It's 120,000 for a car. It's only, it's going to be less, but it's not going to be it's not less now. Your case is already less. You can't sell it for anything at the moment time. The people who have the knowledge, completely different.
Just out of curiosity, did anybody ever?
What?
Just out of curiosity, did anybody ever bring the mafia to Boston?
Interesting to say, I have to say, Agav, a few weeks ago in Basin, there was a case to do with the underworld, where the mafia were told to hit this guy off, yes? One of the Nitva, the defendant, well, the claimants hired the mafia to hit the guy off, yeah? No, so they came to the defendant and said, we come to sort you out. So the defendant says, why are you coming to me? Because you stole from this guy. So the guy, he said to him, look, it's not, if I stole, then you're correct. But I claim I didn't steal, and I'm willing to go to Basin. I'm willing to go to Basin, and whatever they decide, I'll do. If I'm chayav, I'll pay. If I'm not chayav, I'll be potter. So the mafia said, look, we only hit people off, we have... Who are coming off him? Who will deserve it?
Really? Oh, come on.
So therefore we're masking, you go to Basin, and therefore what is on? That's a few weeks ago. Okay. One day I'll talk about that case, but at this moment I can't, because we don't want to give the game away. Okay. That's also interesting. Now, let's move on to the next case. Now, also my Shahid. Lag BaOmer. Everyone's building bonfires. There's a nice big one being built. Started, the fire's already started, it's going well. Reuven comes along to get involved in the festivities of Lag BaOmer, and he decides, let's up the heat of the fire, and he throws a few pieces, or quite three or four pieces of wood into the fire. Okay? He has his dance around, he says his pesukim, he goes home. Okay. What happens? That fire spread, got out of control, and did extreme big damage, hezek, huge hezek, to lamp posts, to people's cars, to people's trash cans, thousands and thousands of shekels of damage. And now we're in Beis Din. Reuven and the people who built the bonfire. Who is responsible? Who's responsible for that damage? The people who built the bonfire, who lit the bonfire, Reuven, who added to the fire, everyone's fire. Who's fire in such a scenario? Yeah? Ready, built bonfire, and you came and added a few pieces of wood.
It's like the boar, the guy who's mushling the boar.
Now, what would you say based on what we just learned? Let's look what in relation to what happened. You got this lamppost over here. Let's just talk about the lamppost. Well, I'm including all the things. Lamppost. There's a fire over there. Somebody's lit a fire. It's destined, that fire, to go and burn down the lamppost. It's destined for that.
I mean, even if he didn't add anything?
Yeah, even if he didn't add anything.
Oh, that fire would have gone.
Yes, that's either. How much did he add? He didn't add much. Yeah.
It's destined. What did he do?
Yeah, he added quite a few planks of wood.
But what did he.
Yeah, so it was destined to burn down this lamppost. Comes along Reuven and makes the fire bigger. Yeah, so it also burns down the lamppost. Yeah, who's now chayev a relationship to what we just discussed now? The first guy or the second guy?
First guy.
What did we say up to now? Is it comparable to the case of throwing off the Wedgwood, China, or is it comparable to the case of throwing an arrow at the Wedgwood?
It's really neither. He's not even doing anything. He didn't break it before the arrow came. The arrow.
So
the arrow
is, you're saying the arrow, yeah?
Or either case.
Is it like the arrow case, where the second guy's lying? Or is it like the Wedgwood China chase where you just threw off the cliff?
No, there is no
the
second guy.
The house, the guy, the roof, and the first guy's the one who starts. Which case is it?
There's no second guy. He's not a second guy. Not even you don't start the question that far. No?
Why not?
Because he didn't do anything.
Okay, before you give Turutim, which case is it comparable to? Which of the two is it more comparable? Before you give your chilukim.
Dealing with Aish is a little different.
Aish is different.
Who? Which case is it?
To the arrow.
Did the person who built the fire, did he do anything to the lamppost yet?
The person who built the fire?
The first one. I'd ask him, before we get to Turutim, the first guy, did he do anything to the lamppost yet?
No.
But if it was but he's like, his Ke'ilu, he's sending a bow and arrow. The first guy is Ke'ilu sending a bow and arrow. In fact, the Gemara calls Eish Mushum Chitzov. Yeah, the fire is like an arrow. Since Ke'ilu, the first guy is throwing a bow and arrow. Yes? Comes along, the second guy, the second guy come along and smash the lamppost down, then of course, who would be Chayev?
The second guy.
According to what we learned. Who would be Chayev? He would actually smash down the lamppost, the second guy. Who would be Chayev? The first guy who shoots the bow and arrow, the fire at the lamppost, or the guy smash it down. Who's the Chayev? The second guy, of course. Yeah, that's what we're
talking about. It's not the same thing, though.
So now, is this the same thing?
No, it's not the same thing.
When he put X fire to it.
No, it wasn't his thing. It wasn't his fire.
It's not the same thing. Here are two separate actions. Here are not two separate actions.
Let's see. Says the Shulchan Aruch number 4. Also Echo the Eish. Somebody made a fire. Uba Achav the Hosef. And somebody else came along and added, in Yesh Mamad Osa Arishan, Kedei Shagi and the Mokum Shaholcha Arishan. If the first guy made the fire is enough to cause the damage by itself, Arishan Chayev, the first one's Chayev. The first guy couldn't damage only with the second guy, then the second guy's going to be fired. So it's clearly, from the Shulchan Aruch, you're saying the first guy made the fire. If the second guy would have come along and knocked down the lamppost, then of course he'd be fired. But he didn't. He just added to the fire, which didn't do anything. Therefore, he's considered nothing. And the first guy is still fired. Okay. So, there's a problem here. I'll tell you what the problem is. Problems like this is such a case. There was, who lit the fire? Who did the fire?
Some little kid.
Who did the first, who built the fire? Who built the madura? Who made the original Lagoma fire? It was children under the age of puppets. Now, should that make a difference that now that the first people who did it were children under bar mitzvah, should that now change the halacha that would say that now Reuven, who's over bar mitzvah, would have added to the fire, now he'll be fired? Would it make a difference?
Why should his parents should be fired?
Why
Why?
Why do you? Why it's so obvious that it shouldn't change? Why is it so obvious it shouldn't change? Why? Because what would the fire? Oh, okay. So let us read Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. A very interesting statement from him. Mincha Shlomo says like this: Yesh lachalik. You can make a difference. Be ma'ba bechila tachocha. The chiyuv de'esh, a difference when you're adding to fire where the chiyuv is esh, the bein zorek, where in the case of tosus, when you're shooting a bow and arrow, or shooting the kli, throwing the kli off the gun. The hosom havi odam amazik, the esh of chayv and mishum ashvir. Over there, when somebody breaks it, when somebody breaks the kli is being shot at by bow and arrow, and the second guy breaks it. He's an odom amazik, the second guy.
The second guy.
Yeah. But here, chiyuv mishum esh. What's the chiyuv of esh? Mishum shmirah, because you lit a fire and you didn't look after it. Why somebody lights a fire which damages its chayv to pay? Because when you can light a fire, but you have to look after it. If you don't look after it, because you are negligent in looking after it, that's why you're chayv. Hilchot ha'achon behechot of love iru also lunasa bala esh sheni. Therefore, if you light the first guy lights a fire, there's a halacha, he has to look after it. It comes along the second guy, puts more wood into it. He doesn't have to look after it because the fire, which is already in existence, already has a shomer on it. Yeah, already has somebody who has to look after it. Kiilu, the halacha is, if I make a fire and I put you in charge looking after it, and then it damages, who's responsible? Who's responsible? I make a fire and then I appoint you as looking after it. Who's responsible if it damages?
The shomer.
Who's responsible? The shomer. Yeah? So here also says with Shomer Zalman, the first guy, when he lights it, he's already got a chiyuv to look after it. Comes along the second guy, without the permission of the first guy, and adds to it. So he's made the fire as well, but he doesn't have to look after it, because the first guy has to look after it in any case. It's either the second guy made the fire and told the first guy, you look after it, and you didn't, so your chiyuv will damage my fire, mate. Even though the second guy, made a fire, but I don't have to look it after because I made you as a shliach to look after it. Why I made you a shliach? Because the Torah says you have to look after the fire in any case because you made the first fire. So therefore, when it damages, who's negligent for the fire which damages in such a case? Who's the one who didn't do his job of looking after it? The first guy or the second guy?
The first guy!
So even though it's called the second guy's fire, but the first guy was supposed to look after it, and he didn't, so therefore damages, he's responsible for Central Shomer Zalman Orbach, the first guy, because he had to look after the second guy's fire in any case.
Why don't it become shuk and fee?
No, because you had to look after it in any case. You had to do it in any case. There's already a big enough fire which causes damages. You have to look after it. Why should I? I've got no relationship to it.
I only had to look after it as long as that would have lasted until without your adding stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Fine. But we're saying it doesn't. You didn't change the status of the fire causing damage. So, therefore, comes out, let me ask you, if that's the only reason why the second one's off the hook, it's his fire, but he's off the hook because the first guy has to look after it. What happens if the first guy is a cotton?
No shmira.
What happens if the first guy is underage?
No shmira.
If I make a fire and I ask a cotton to look after it and then it damages, am I released from who made the fire from that damage?
What happens if there's only a cotton?
A cotton made a fire and gave it to a cotton to look after and then damaged, and therefore, oh, I'm not responsible because he didn't do the job. Of course I am, because I gave it to a guy who can't look after. So therefore, when the second guy threw fire, made a fire by adding firewood to it, and it's caught this fire, he can't say, I don't have to look after it. Well, because the first guy has to look after it. In any case, he can't do that. Because the first guy is a cotton. How can you say he has to look after it? He's not going to look after it. He's got no ability to look after it. So therefore, in a case where the first guy is a cotton, and the second guy adds fire, it's called he's added a fire without looking after it. So therefore, when it damages, he can't say, I'm released from paying, according to Hashem's Amor. So if the Madura is made according to Sherman's Alma Urbach by children under age and the second guy acts fire, then the second guy is going to be Chayev. Because the Gemara is only saying the first guy is Chayev is because he can look after it. So the children can't look after it, so the second guy is going to be Chayev.
That's cool.
That's how it sounds.
What happens if there's only a cotton? The cotton lights the fire, it causes damage.
Fine, we'll discuss that next week. Very good, we're discussing what the halakhas of cotton next week in damages. But this, what comes out is the first guy's of cotton, he can't look after things. You create a fire and you expect him to look after it? Well, you should go, this cotton can't look after it. So your fire damages, the second guy's fire damages without being looked after, the second guy's fire. So therefore, should be the second guy's fire. The only problem is the Chazon Ish argues. The Chazon Ish says, if you look at number 6, he says, you know, well, look, Kasha, Yemi and the Chazon Ish must have spoken to each other this week because they said the same thing. Look, Kasha, what is it? The second guy's tired? Why should the second? Of course, the first one's tired. Why? The Hawker can show Shabba Mako, but no, because I hate those shiver below, start to be sure. Cloud! In the case where somebody shoots a bow and arrow at the Wedgwoods and somebody else comes and breaks it, what's he doing? He's stopping the first guy's bow and arrow damaging. Who damaged at the end of the day? Somebody threw a bow and arrow, and before it got there, somebody else smashed it. Who actually damaged? Second guy. The first guy, you cannot say, after everything was done, did anything. You're looking back at the whole story, the first guy didn't do anything. Of course, the first guy's potter in such a case. But here... But in the case of the adding fire to already lit fire, which is going to spread in any case, the first guy made a fire, the second guy didn't make any fire. Adding fire to a fire which is already lit, and it's going to spread the same distance, is keen, you've done nothing. The first guy made a fire, the second guy didn't do anything. What did he do? He added wood, which doesn't make anything worse. Adding wood to a already existing fire which is going to spread and cause damage, where you add the wood, you don't add the wood, what did that wood do? Absolutely nothing. So therefore, it's not that you made a fire, the second guy didn't make any fire. According to the Chazon Ish. So according to the Chazon Ish, then the second guy never made a fire in the case where the first guy made a fire and it spreads the same way as with the wood without the wood. Then the second guy's called, he did nothing, he didn't make any fire. Then even if the first guy's a cotton, you can't turn around to the second guy and say, well, your fire damaged at the end of the day and you didn't look after it. What do you mean? I never made a fire. I didn't do anything. I did nothing by adding this wood. I didn't create anything. So therefore you can't say the reason why this lamp goes burnt down is because of my fire. I had no fire here. I added wood, which wasn't fire. According to Chazon Ish, even if the first one's a cotton, he's off the hook. What's the halacha? Is it like Hashem is Amu Oba, that you made a fire and you give it to something to look after and the cotton is not, and therefore you're chayiv? Or is it like you didn't make a fire in the first place and therefore you're off the hook even if it's a cotton? Who's halacha, like the Chazanish? Or is it like Hashem is Amu Oba?
Depends if you're in Yerushalayim or Benilla.
Nope, there's a Feresh Gemara, which the Shem Zalman Ubach, I think, admits at the end, is aware that it proves his this from this Tosus that the Chazanish is correct. What does Tosus say? What does Tosus say? And here we'll finish tonight. And next we discuss very interesting Shilas of Cotton. But here we'll finish tonight with Tosus. Yeah. What did Tosus say? If you can answer up this raya, then you get a bag of sweets.
Alright.
I was once, my Rebbe in Yeshiva said, if you answer this kasha, I'll give you £100. Because he thought no one would, in England, pounds, the dollars put it, by the way. Yeah, and so he thought no one would answer it. Some clever guy answered it. And the guy, the Russian, he didn't know what to do, he had to give. So, I'm giving you a bag of sweets. Now. Tosus, and this is where we finish. Tosus and Baba Kama Daf Samach Amud Aleph. What's he talking about? He's talking about the wind and you make a fire together. You got glowing coals. Glowing coals. No one made the glowing coals. Glowing coals already existing. Comes along you and you blow on the glowing coals to fan the flames. And at the same time, wind does it with you, and it fans the flames and it spreads and damages.
And both are required.
So Tosis says, "V'she'ein v'ruach b'fnei'at so k'vei l'lav nosmori." We're talking where the wind by itself wouldn't be able to make fan up to create problems. Because if the wind could make problems even without the second guy blowing, even though the second guy also is doing enough by himself in theory without the wind, that normally is chayev. Why would the second guy be chayev? Why would the guy be chayev if the wind has already made the fire? So beloved, it was gone and damaged even without him. If the wind makes the fire strong enough to damage, then me blowing on it, and it also can make damage by itself. But I did it seconds after the wind. Why should I be chayev? I didn't do anything. What does that sound like? Is the wind something we can charge? Is the wind called someone we can appoint as a shomer? Is the wind like a cotton or like a gottel? The wind who made the fire first, he's like a cotton or gottel? It's like a cotton. And what Tosus is saying is that if a cotton made the fire, the wind, and I also make a fire that's also capable of damage, but it doesn't do more than the first guy, then I, the second guy, are potter, because what did I do? I didn't make any fire at the end of the day. What does that sound like Shomer Zalman or like Chazanish? Chazanish. Therefore the halacha is like the Chazanish, and therefore even in the case where the cotton made the fire and the second one didn't add anything to the damage by adding his wood, the second one also you can't charge for the damage to the lamppost. Next week we'll discuss then what do you do now. Okay, you can't chase up to the Gedolim. What's the din of the Katanim when they damage? And we'll discuss all interesting shyness by then. Have a very, very good Shabbos.